Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Air Cannon. We thank God that we're able to be here one more time to be able to get into the Word of God, which is perfect law of liberty. There's nothing like the Word of the Lord. We thank God for that, that we're able to be here just another time. And as the writer said, Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And that quote came out of the book of Habakkuk. We know the quote is in Romans 1 and 16. So what a blessing it is to be able to get into the Word, to read the Word, to do like the psalmist says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So we've got to have the Word. And so we know that Jesus is that Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. So he is the one. Knowing that there is one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. In him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. We thank God that we know that God is one. Amen. And the God of Israel is the God of the church, the Jehovah of the old, the great I am, amen. The God Almighty, Exodus 1 and 6, he says, by my name of God Almighty, I appeared unto Abraham, but by my name Jehovah was I not made known unto them. So we know that after you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah no more in the Bible, knowing that Jehovah or Jesus is become our salvation. So neither is there salvation in any other. Acts 4 and 12, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So salvation is in the name of Jesus, knowing that the blood that he shed, the blood is in the name. The Hebrew writer says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. And this is why the commandment, they knew who the Lord was, and they know the name that he said. Thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So we know in remission of sins is in the name of Jesus. This is why Peter, the one that Jesus gave the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and he preached on the day of Pentecost, and the Jews and all those that were there from every nation under heaven, they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. We know even we, the Gentiles, Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, said that we were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, without hope in the world, without God. And ye who were sometimes far off, he says that we are made nigh or near by the blood of Christ. So there's nothing like the word of the Lord. And the truth, the Bible is definitely truth when it is rightly divided. So all these things that are popping up and coming up, and people claiming to be the great this one and the honorable that one, but it's not about none of us, but it's about Jesus. As we had read last week, so you may have 10,000 instructors in Christ, Apostle Paul says, yet not ye have many fathers. And he was speaking to the church at Corinth, which he established, but he said, I have begotten you through the gospel. So Apostle Paul, we know when he wrote to his son Timothy, he called it my gospel. He was so tied into it. And we know that in the end that he was beheaded on Nero's chopping block, but he already had died. He died out to himself, and he gave himself to God. He said he didn't count his life dear, but he might finish his course in the ministry that he received of the Lord Jesus. So that's what we have to do, because it's not about us, but it's about Jesus. And if we can decrease that he may increase, and stop thinking that we're so important, that we're not promoting him, but we're trying to tell people, promote ourselves, and you got to be connected to me and all of that. That's foolishness. But it's about Jesus. It's not about us. So we thank God for his word, and we're moving on in the book of 1 Corinthians, this church that the Apostle Paul established, and we ended up in the sixth chapter. We finished it, but there's some more things that could be said as we were talking about all of these ungodly things. In the ninth verse of the sixth chapter, we're talking about, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? A question. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor infamous, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. This is what Apostle Paul is saying. But now are ye washed. Now, but ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So you got the one baptism, which the Bible says, and that's talking about water and spirit. So he said, except the man be born of water and of the spirit. There's not a definite article, the water, as some people say, but he said, except the man be born of water and of the spirit. There's a definite article right there. So you got to be born again. Can't have somebody else's spirit, but you got to have the spirit of the Father, which is Jesus, which is the self same one, the Holy Ghost. Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is all the self same one. As Jesus told the disciples, if I go not away, Comforter will not come. He dwelleth with you. He's talking right there. He was with them. He said, he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So he had to be glorified. We have an example of that in the seventh chapter of St. John, when Jesus stood at the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of water. And the Bible says, this said he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost is not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Yes, go ahead, Elder Fountain. So, we've got to have the word. We can do nothing without the word of God. And so we got to believe God and do what he said. And this is what people got to understand, that there's nothing like the word of the Lord. So thank God for his word. Elder Fountain.
Praise the Lord. Can you hear me?
Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. I can hear you. Yeah, this is our, we're going to give you into the hands of our historian, Elder Ryan Fountain. Go ahead.
Amen. I wanted to talk briefly. We were discussing the sixth chapter of 1 Corinthians last week, and I read through the latter part of that chapter, and we just wanted to go back through and go over those things for your hearing. I read them in your hearing, but there's some things that need to be explained. We have to understand that, let me start back at the knowing that fornicators and idolaters or adulterers or effeminate or abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So we know that none of those people will inherit the kingdom of God, and we discussed that at length, I think, last week.
Yes.
So we know none of those people shall inherit the kingdom of God, but we know that that was once us. Everyone that is saved of God and has been filled with his spirit and washed in his blood were once among those people. He says, such were some of you, but you are washed and ye are sanctified and ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So we know that equals water baptism as well as being filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And it says that all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. So although we have the ability to do these things still, although we have all of that evil still able to work inside of us, we do not let that evil control us. But we are now under the control of the Holy Ghost and under the direction of God. So that is what we are going to get to, because we are bought with a price. And we are under the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the price that was paid for us. He paid the price for us upon Calvary's Hill. He paid the price for sin. We were all under bondage. We were all under a slave master of sin. And he paid the price to set us free from that captor.
Yeah.
So we know that if we go back into those things, we will be once again joined into that bondage. So that is what he is telling us. That is what Paul is telling us not to do, not to join ourselves with idolatry, not to join ourselves with things of the world, but rather to join ourselves unto God. Because if we join ourselves, as we keep reading, it says, know that, your bodies are the members of Christ. Shall I take the members of Christ and make them a members of a harlot? God forbid. So there was one man that God told to marry a woman, and that was, I believe, the prophet Hosea. He told Hosea to go out and marry a harlot because it was to show Israel what they were doing to him. What they were doing to God, because God was indeed married to Israel. He was married to Judah. He had two wives. He had to put one away by divorce, which was the 10 tribes of Israel, and he put away the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin by death. By him dying upon the cross, he put away that marriage agreement. Amen?
Yes.
Excuse me. So we know that we should not marry, we should not be joining ourselves unto idols. We should not be joining ourselves unto things that would be considered fornication spiritually. We are not to be committing spiritual fornication as well as natural fornication.
Yeah.
So these things, if we join ourselves unto false doctrine, if we join ourselves unto false teachings, we are actually joining ourselves with a harlot. Because many of these false teachings, many of these false doctrines revolve around money. So why do we leave the truth? We leave the truth to chase after money. So when we go and compromise what we believe in, when you compromise your belief system, when you compromise your standards in order to gain crowds and in order to gain popularity and in order to gain favor with men, you are actually joining yourselves unto a harlot. This is what he is warning us against, that we should not join ourselves unto something that is not of God's spirit.
Yeah.
So he says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sins against his own body. So I'm warning you tonight, friends, that we should not only flee natural fornication, we should also flee spiritual fornication. We should not be looking to please this flesh in any sort of way. We should be looking to submit ourselves unto God, and we should be looking to please him, do the things that please him in all of his glory. That's how we glorify God in our body and our spirit.
Yeah.
Because he bought us. We do not belong to ourselves any longer. We now belong to God. When you are baptized in his name and you are made a member of his body, you are no longer belonging unto yourself, but you belong unto him. And you should rightfully walk as so. We do not walk in this. It is not a yoke of bondage, but it is a yoke of peace. It is a way to keep us and a way to build us up within ourselves in order to put us in the purpose that God originally meant mankind to be in. So we have to understand that we have to rightfully go after that in all things. We should not compromise ourselves in any way, because if you compromise yourself in any way, you're actually compromising your relationship with God. So
yes,
we
sir.
Have to be careful and mindful of those things. Amen?
Amen.
Elder Cannon, is there anything that you wanted to add on to that?
No, you're pretty much, and then the next, the end says, we are bought with a price, so therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. So just like you say, we belong to him.
Yes.
So we can't please him if we don't do what he says. We're gonna walk contrary to what he says. We're not pleasing him. We're really doing our own thing. And we are in the body of Christ. He is the head. So that's where we get our instructions from. It's from the head.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if we do things out of order, it the head's going to have to do stuff to adjust how the body works. When you have an ache in your body, when you have a pain in your body, you do things to adjust how the body is working, and whether it be taking medicine, whether it be doing some sort of physical therapy or whatever, you have to do things to adjust your body so that it is working properly, and that is what God has to do with us. When we start going out of order in the body, he has to start adjusting how the body is working and looking towards new members. Amen?
Yeah.
He doesn't just sit around and wait for those same dead cells to try to revive themselves. He has to go out and get new cells. Amen? So
yes.
The body is regenerated of itself. It's a living organism that goes on within the body of Christ. Just as your body is constantly making new blood cells, new cells within yourself, the body of Christ also is continually regenerating itself. So we have to know that we are bought with a price. We have to follow after what God wants us to do, what the head wants us to do, in order to be in order with the head. Otherwise, he will have to look to other means in order to get his plan accomplished, because the plan is going to accomplish itself no matter what, no matter
yeah.
if you're part of the plan or not. The plan is going to accomplish itself because he foreordained this before the foundation of the world. This whole plan was laid out before this world was ever laid out. Before anything was made in this world, he had the plan laid out just as a contractor or a builder would do. They have to first draw plans, they have to draw blueprints, then they go forth with the plan. And that is how God is working and operating in this world. Amen?
Yes, and, you know, I was thinking while you were talking, just like the natural body, if something goes really bad on it, they amputate it. But in the spiritual realm, some people could think they're in the body. They actually, you don't leave God. God doesn't leave you. You leave him.
Yeah.
It, like in the book of the Revelation 3:20, and he was saying, he was standing at the door knocking. If any man hear his voice and let him in, he'll come in and sup with him and he with me. So that, you know, we got to realize that some people are up when you, and when you get to the point where you're operating on your own and out of your own mind and everything, you really are not in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And it's one of the emotions. You're in the earthly realm. You're in the church. You're in the visible church, but you're not in the invisible church.
Yeah, so you're not doing the will of God. You're not following after what he wants. You're following after what you want.
Yeah.
And he says, and we discussed this last Saturday at our men's ministry, he says, who is my brother? He that doeth the will of God. So
yeah.
If you're not doing the will of God, there's no way that I can call you my brother. There's no way that I could call you a child of God, because you are not doing his will. All of his children do his will. And it is by his will we are made children. We are under the agreement of adoption.
Yeah.
So we have to know that we are not of ourselves. We are of him. And we have to follow after what he wants and what he desires.
Yeah.
Because that is what is important in this world, is what he desires and what causes him pleasure, because he is the one that causes us pleasure. We can cause ourselves pleasure for a temporary fix. There's things that we can do to temporarily cause us pleasure, but in the end, those things all cause destruction.
Exactly.
Every single pleasure that we have in this world that is of ourselves, we ends up causing destruction, whether it be drugs, whether it be alcohol, whether it be fornication. All those things lead up to destruction and lead unto bad things coming into your life.
Yes, and I was just thinking, as you were talking, like we were saying, we're in the Laodicean age, and that's what he said unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I would spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And then people then are in that kind of a spiritual state. They don't even know that they're in that state.
It's a complete state of unawareness.
Yes.
It's a deep sleep that has fallen upon this church age, and we are definitely in the Laodicean church age, because everything we do, we think we are righteous and we're doing in the name of the Lord, but a lot of the stuff God is not pleased with, a lot of the stuff God is not happy with, because it is not coming out of his mind, but it is coming out of the minds of men and women that feel that they are righteous in what they are doing, and they can justify whatever they're doing because they are slapping the name of Jesus on it and feel that it is right.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah, just like we said, you know, 2 Timothy 2:15, when Paul wrote the letter to Timothy, his son, in the gospel, and he told him to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so many don't realize that the Bible is truth when it's rightly divided. So if you're doing violence to the scriptures, that's not right division of the word. If it's not right division of the word, it's not truth. And they're coming out of their own minds.
Amen. And when you take something out of context, when you just lift the scripture out of its context and just lay it out there, you can make the Bible say whatever you want it to say.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make it right. There's a lot of doctrines out there. I know that there's a doctrine that we recently dealt with about the black people being the lost members of Israel, and these gentlemen that were being spoken to were saying that they were just lifting scriptures out and quoting a bunch of random scriptures and not really giving any understanding of what they were talking about, because they didn't have any understanding. But you can lift the scripture out and pretty much make it say anything and
yeah.
And make people believe that what you're saying is truth just because you said it out of the Bible. But we have to know that
you have to rightly divide the scriptures. You have to have every scripture line upon it on itself. The book of Isaiah says line upon line, precept upon precept. And we have to know that every scripture has to line up with every other scripture. And if you have 10 scriptures saying one thing and then one scripture that contradicts those scriptures, you don't have truth. You have to have every scripture lining itself up upon each other. So
yes.
You have to know how to rightly divide. You have to be taught how to rightly divide the word.
Exactly.
And you have
yes.
to get an understanding of what you are being taught. And because the disciples walked with Jesus for 3 years, and they didn't have a full understanding of the scriptures until he resurrected, and then he opened up their understanding in the 24th chapter of Luke. They
yes.
understood all the scriptures in the Old Testament. So they were given the understanding at that time.
Yes,
but they,
so that's what
although
he said.
They had been taught, they had been prepared up until that time, but then they got the understanding to go out and teach others after that.
Yes. Yes,
and they had to have the understanding and know how to rightly divide the scriptures and know when Jesus was talking about being on this earth, when Jesus was talking about his second coming, when Jesus was talking about his death, when Jesus was talking about his resurrection. They had to rightly divide all of those things and know that they had to be able to time set and put it in order how it was supposed to be and how God meant it to be.
Yes, yes, like you were just saying, Luke 24:44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's a heavy statement right there, when someone can speak of themselves, like he said in the book of the Revelation, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Yes.
Amen. So my time is running short, Elder Cannon. I have to go and finish my duties. So it was a pleasure being on the air once again with you. I hope we will see you next week.
Yeah.
And Lord's will, and we will see you on then. I have to get
okay.
going now.
All right. Okay. God bless you.
All right. Great. God All right. bless you.
Okay. Okay. Then we're going to move on into the seventh chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, the seventh chapter. We're going to move on into there. And these things, we are talking about marriage and how God established marriage that is so very important, and we want to make sure that we continue on here. So our body, and it's so very important that we got to glorify God in our spirit, as the scripture says, which are God's. So he bought us, and we are in his body. And so that's what he's going to do is to redeem our soul. So we are body, soul, and spirit. The spirit is going back to God. Body is going back to the dust. The soul is what the Lord is redeeming, and our soul is going to spend eternity with the Lord. We have obeyed him and done what he said. So now we go on off into the seventh chapter of 1 Corinthians. He says, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. That's a very powerful statement, because it literally means what it says. Sometimes, and you can turn the fire up, and you can't turn that fire down. So that's a literally, just like they say, don't touch that, don't touch that, it's hot, it's hot. So that literally means what it says. I mean, and you have to watch. You can't just have yourself in a situation where you're by yourself, you're there, she's there, and the devil is there. So you just have to be careful, because your worst enemy, I'm thoroughly convinced, is not yourself, is not the devil, but your worst enemy is the one that you're looking in the mirror at, and that is yourself. So you can't
trust yourself. So you got to be wise, because you can't take fire in your bosom and not be burned. So you can't be turning up the thermostat. So you got to be careful of these things. So as far as this goes, you can't just go so far and then cut it off, because it doesn't work like that. You turn that thermostat up, you get that fire burning, it's going to be hard to stop it. So he goes on, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. So that's a powerful statement there. So many times people say, especially women, that their biological clock is running down. And nowadays, some women want to have a baby, and they don't want to have an husband, and maybe some men too. But you hear it more with women. But either way, I mean, it goes both ways. But he says to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and every woman have her own husband. So this is what God has done. God established marriage. We see that back in the book of Genesis. And then he said, therefore, let a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they twain, shall be one flesh. And he goes on to say, what God therefore hath joined together, let no man put asunder. So we know we're living in an evil, wicked world, and folks are calling things wrong. That are right, and right things that are wrong. And, you know, they're doing things according to what their eyes see and what they feel. They want you to feel sorry for somebody. He came out of the closet. Well, like the Bible talks about that in the book of Ephesians, some things are a shame to be spoken of, things that people used to do in the dark, or we did before we were regenerated, before we were born again, some things that we'd done. They're ashamed to be spoken of. I mean, you can't tell everything that you did. And that's exactly what he was talking about back there in the sixth chapter of 1 Corinthians, when he said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Question, be not deceived, neither fornicators, many of us were, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor infamous, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And that's when he went on to say, such were some of you, but now are ye washed, now are ye sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So the blood makes the difference, the blood of Jesus washing away our sin. After we repented, after we've been baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, after God fills us with the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gives utterance. That makes the difference. The born again experience is what makes the difference. So we always have to keep in mind that the letters are to the church or to the churches, but they are to the literal body of Christ, the born-again believers, right today. And we know that he wrote to the saints at Rome. He hadn't seen them, and he wanted to come unto them, and he was hindered. And he said he wanted to impart unto them some spiritual gift, and he had not met them. But this Corinthian church, he established this church, so he knew some of these saints of God in this particular church. So they had many, they were a very gifted church, but they had problems with the flesh. They were all out of hand, things that they were doing. So he came to set the church in order. And it's no different order than it was back in the Old Testament. The same commandments, just even breaking them down even more. We know that the classification of fornication includes adultery, includes sodomy, homosexuality, all that kind of stuff is all in the classification of fornication, with, you know, having unlawful sex with someone that is not your husband, if you are a woman, or that is not your wife, if you're a man. That includes homosexuality, because God never intended for a man to be with another man or a woman to be with another woman. And we know the world is trying to do this, but it doesn't matter. You got to do what God says. So it matters not how they try to change the law. I mean, you can't, and they call themselves gay, and gay means to be happy, but they're not gay. They are perverted. And that's what he even tells us, tells them that they would pervert the gospel of Christ when he wrote to the church at Galatia. And he went on to say, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have heard, let him be accursed. So that's a curse. That's not the blessing of the Lord. Two men together call themselves married to each other, or two women. That is unlawful. God is against it. It's not my word, but it's the word of the Lord. So we better do what he said. We don't want to end up in a lake of fire that burned up with brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are going to beat you there. They're going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. Whosoever's name not written in the book of life is going to be cast into the lake of fire and be tormented day and night forever and ever. Nobody in their right mind want to go there. So he goes on to say here, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise the wife unto the husband. So that is talking about the sex act. You're not your own. She's not her own. So in other words, you should be considerate one of another as husband and wife. You got two personalities together. You're the one flesh, like the Lord said, that two shall be one. So he goes on to say, the wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also, the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, not the one the other, one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. So he said, I speak this by permission and not of commandment. So you got to be considerate one of another when you're in marriage. And that's sometimes hard for people to do, but you got to grow into that, because we are by nature human beings. We are selfish creatures. So yeah, it's not to tear down one another, to talk about one another, to somebody else, but you're one. You don't want to do that, but you want to be together as one. So also, our call-in number is 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. And I thank God for all of our Blog Talk listeners, and also for all of our Blog Talk friends, and also for all of our Facebook listeners. Just nothing like the perfect law of liberty, as James says, which is the Word of God, being able to get into the Word of God, not being afraid of saying what the Word of God says, because none of us are that important. I mean, God loves us. If we do those things which are pleasing in his sight, we keep his commandments, like James said. If you don't keep his commandments, you're a liar, and his word is not in you. If you hate your brother, you're a murderer. So, I mean, so many things what the Bible is telling us. So, and he goes on to say here, but I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man has his proper gift of God, one after this manner and after that. I say, therefore, to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. What he's talking about, he did not have a wife. And he said that he know how to lead about a wife, a sister, a wife. But he was saying how time is short, is what he was saying. So you got to save your, you're not going to go to heaven together, but you surely can help one another as good stewards of God's word. You know, you're being a unit as one. You're helping one another. And so we'll see as we go on here in the scripture. So he says, I say, therefore, to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. So in other words, you can be by yourself. If you got that power to be by yourself, then you just want to do those things to please God. But a wife, she wants to please her husband. and vice versa. The husband wants to please the wife. So you are subject one to another. You have to submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. There is no big I's or little U's. You know, the man is the head, as we say. That means he's the protector. That means he's the provider. You know, he's got responsibility, not the ruler and like he's the big bad wolf or whatever, and huff and puff, and the wife's got to be afraid of him. No, that don't go like that. You don't abuse. You don't. I don't believe in hitting. That's not God's way. You don't hit. A man doesn't hit a woman, or a brother or a husband does not hit his wife. And I got one for you. Go even farther. The woman or the sister or the wife should not hit her husband. Nobody should be getting ducking, afraid they're going to get slapped or something thrown at them. That don't go that way. That don't go that way for either one. No one should be living like that. Some men get beat up, and some men do get provoked, and they shouldn't. And that doesn't go like that. Shouldn't go like that. No one should be hitting nobody. The man, a husband, shouldn't hit his wife. Neither should the wife hit her husband. It goes both ways. So here the Apostle Paul goes on to say, 1 Corinthians 7 and 9, but they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. What he's talking about, burning in your lust, how some people do. That's why you have to be careful what you do. Some people by themselves, they can't be looking at love stories and all that. That stuff is just going to start a fire and a fuel in you. So you got to be very careful what you do, because you want to please God. You don't want to put yourself, as we say, in an uncompromising situation. But you want to be clean before God. You got to keep your mind right. You got to, just like he says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of good report. He said, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So you got to have your mind right. And so he says, unto the married, I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. And what he's talking about here, people in church, as we say, saved people. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. So we got to see what's going on here. Sometimes things do happen, but you got to realize who you are, whose you are. You still belong to God. You can't, like the world, you get divorced, then you're free to marry somebody else. Like some folks been married 7, 8, 9 times. I mean, God knows how many times. Take two hands to count how many times some people have been married. That's not God's way. God's way is when you make that vow, it says, so long as you both shall live. I know there are some so-called beliefs and persuasions, or they say that you're going to love this person forever. That's not what the scripture says. It says you're taking this vow so long as you both shall live, or till death do you part. So that's how that goes. And so that's the way the Lord intended for it to be. So there is other things that can cause two people to be separated or divorced. And that is in the case of sometimes you got two people that weren't saved. One person gets saved, the other don't want to be saved. The other person that's not saved want to leave, and you can't stop them from leaving. So we're going to see as we go on here. So he goes on to say, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried. We're talking about two saved people here, or be reconciled to her husband. Let not the husband put away his wife. But the rest I speak, I not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, there it is right there. You got two people that were married. He got saved, she didn't. So she's not a believer. The wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, the woman got saved, the husband didn't. And if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. So it goes on, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. What he's talking about, they are legitimate. What he's talking about is they are legal in the sight of God. One person happened to get saved, and the other one is not saved. Shall we say, for sake of conversation, they're not saved yet. And he goes, we're going to see as we go on in the scripture. You don't know if this person will get saved. They got a soul too. So he goes on to say, but if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us unto peace. So what he's saying is here, some people don't, I know of people, I know of a man, a brother that was saved for years. His wife just turned really bitter. She didn't want the Lord, so she ended up leaving him, and they were divorced. So this is what he's talking about. His wife never got saved. Though they were married, saved. They were married before he got saved. They had children, and she didn't want this. And she ended up leaving him. So there, God has children and the devil have children. Some people don't want the Lord. That happened to be one of the cases. So he says, what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Talking about a woman that two people, they were already married. She got saved. He's not saved yet. My wife got saved 10 days before I got saved. So you never know. You don't know until that time is. And this is what he's talking about. What knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? A question. But as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all churches. Is any a man among any man called circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision, let him not become circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. What we really have to see here in this saying is in the scriptures, the Jews are called the circumcision, and the Gentiles are called the uncircumcision. So what he's saying is that's nothing. You want to brag on where you are. People want to brag on their status. What is important is the keeping of the commandments of God. And so I go back in the book of Romans and give clarity to what I just said. So shall not, therefore, if the uncircumcision, Romans 2:26, keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? A question. Shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision doth transgress the law? A question. And he goes on to make a statement here. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. That's talking about fleshly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, and in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So now understand, now, like we said, the scripture of Hebrews 4:12, talking about God's word, says, for the word of God is quick. That means it's alive. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder of the dividing of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, the word of God. So that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. That word, that sword came forth. And so they said when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart. And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? pricked in the heart. The heart and the scriptures and the spirit is the self-same thing. So the word of God is what pricked our heart. So the word of God is what circumcises your heart. When that sword pricks your heart, it circumcises your heart. So this is what he's saying. So he's going back talking about the natural, so we can tie both the natural and the spiritual in that analogy. Like I said, circumcision is the Jews. That's what the Bible said in the 10th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. It says, they of the circumcision were astonished, and as many as came with Peter, this is down at Cornelius' house, because that on the Gentiles, that Acts the 10th chapter, was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he said, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And Peter said, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Talking about the Gentiles. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Like I said, the Lord's name is Jesus. The name of the Lord is Jesus Christ, or the name of the Lord Jesus. It's all in the name of Jesus is what it's talking about. So he says circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Whether you be a Jew, whether you be a Greek, whether you be a Jew, whether you be a Gentile, you got to keep the commandments of God. So we know even on the day of Pentecost, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven. So initially, the whole nation of the Jews or the nation of Israel did not accept the gospel of Jesus Christ as a whole nation. But there were God is going to bring in the remnant, and that is the 144,000, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. So God's going to do that in his time. So he goes on to say, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant, care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise, also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. He goes on to say, you are bought with a price. Be not ye servants of men. And that is a problem, because some people are so dedicated to men. And like I said, there are men that are in high places that have question marks around their lives. And so sometimes people think there can't be call in question. But if you have question marks all around your life, you live in a lie, in due time, God is going to uncover that. Because it's not about us. It is about Jesus. And we're not so important. We try to cover up, but God's going to pull the cover off. Nobody's going to stop him from exposing people as to who they really are. So just in due time, you can think you're getting away, but you're not going to get away. So, brethren, let every man, wherein he is called, therein abide with God. And so he goes on to say, so we're still talking about God establishing a marriage between a man and a woman. And I know hell and itself and the world. And so like the Bible said in the 16th chapter of Luke, he said, what is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. And this is one of the things that is highly esteemed among men. Even in the political campaign, we can see. They were addressed with a dress, you know, you're straight or you're not straight. You're straight if you get saved, you're straight. It's not about we just, okay, pat you on the back and you're on your way to hell. No, that doesn't make sense. Nobody in their right mind want to be lost. It's not what we think and not our way, but we better be doing what God says. So not going to try to be servants of men and try to please men. But we better please him who has called us to be a soldier, as he says. So now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment. Apostle Paul here, I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that it is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? So he's talking about people that are married. So that's you're bound, you're one. Seek not to be loose. Art thou loose from a wife? seek not a wife. It's a question, two-way question. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. So what he is saying, you're going to have your challenges. You're going to have your temptations. You're going to have your struggles because you got two personalities clashing there. But what he's saying is, the main thing is, what you got to realize, you want to be saved. Time is short. And we go on to say here, and we know our time is almost gone, but I say, brethren, that the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. So he says, but I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. And they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. I would have you ignorant without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. That's the single man right there. But he that is married careth for the things of the world, how he may please his wife. So that's talking about your house, things that you know each other like, and all of that. That's very important. There's a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be both holy, both in body and spirit, because she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husbands. So that's how that goes. That you're trying to please each other in your home, things that you do, things that you like, the husband and the wife. It's a two-way street. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that you may attend unto the Lord without distraction. So that is so important right here. And we know our time is about gone. That we can finish this up the next week. So I say, like the scripture says, marriage is between a man and a woman. It doesn't matter what man, what woman, what devil out of hell. Don't believe it, but God established marriage. And like I said, even like I've said before, that so-called term, sexual orientation, whoever came up with that should be ashamed of themselves coming up with such a term, because you either a man or a woman. When you're born, they have the blue. It's a boy. They have the pink. It's a girl. This foolishness, it's a man trying to come out of me or a woman trying to come out of me. That's all foolishness. So we want to do those things that are pleasing in the sight of God. And that is, you got to be what you are. And if you are in, and this is not talking about the world. We're going to do what they want. I mean, people on certain shows, they ought to be ashamed, but they're not. That's the world. We are talking to and about people who are in the body of Christ. And of course, we're going to preach against sin and all of that. Everything that is not like God said, that's the way that is, and we should want to believe God. So we thank God for his word, and God did ordain marriage, and that is the truth, and nobody can stop that. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God bless you.